Chapter 8. "It doesn't feel like it's mine, Haren," she says, embarrassed and scuffing the heel of her new boots. The last pair was hopelessly ruined when she quite literally ran them into the ground, on the clean stone of her quarters. "It feels very large and fancy, very Shem, like I'm borrowing it and just waiting for its real owner to come back, and then they'll yell at me for making the place dirty."
"Understandable," Solas says, staring at a figure of a wooden Hala that he vaguely recognizes from the Winter Palace on the tidy desk. How in the world did she smuggle it back? Or did Blackwall make it for her? No, he made them a Bari on the shelf. That is certainly Blackwall's work. Though I see there was some attempt to make you feel at home. There is a lute in a corner, and what he thinks is supposed to be some sort of elven decoration. Inspired by elven tradition, maybe. Solas isn't exactly certain, and he doesn't feel like inspecting it to find out. Mostly, he is attempting to ignore the large and ornate piece of furniture they call a bed, but perhaps could be a small boat in the center of the room.
"I suppose, but I don't understand how the windows are Dalish," she wrinkles her nose. "We don't have windows?"
Solas spares a glance at the stained glass. They vaguely remind him of tree branches. An attempt was made, though I did not say it was a success. His lips twitched upwards. "But they are your quarters, Dalen. You could," he waves a hand, "live in them." Solas cannot imagine this room as Lavellan's. No song of trees or soil. No golden sunlight, and the absolute silence of the sky. Ornate and very beautiful, yes, but not exactly what he thinks of when he thinks of their young herald.
"They don't feel right," she says. "Look."
She points up towards the mural on the upper level of her rooms.
"I have two levels, and a closet, with barrels."
Lavellan looks faintly puzzled before turning indignant.
"What do I need this for? Shouldn't this be Cullen's room or Vivian's? They're rather important people. I feel like they could use these rooms better. I like where Vivian is. Her room is nice."
"Madame de Fer does not have a room. She has an area that has been unspokenly declared hers, that looks over the rest of Skyhold."
"It's a very nice living space. Very open and full of noise,"
Lavellan says, crossing her arms.
"You can't hear anything from here."
Solas raises an eyebrow. "Some would cherish the silence."
"Well, I'm not some people," Lavellan declares. "I don't like it."
"You could ask to switch."
"I did. Vivian laughed and said no."
Solas raises an eyebrow.
"All right. She laughed and said no, and lectured me on appearances for half an hour before Cole showed up to rescue me, when my eyes felt like they were going to go cross."
She flushes.
"And Cullen just stared at me with that look. You know, he really reminds me of some of the older hunters back home. But..." "All right, Haren, you're giving me the same look. Do all older men learn that look? Is that a thing? Oh, but sometimes Josephine and Vivian give me that look, too. Is it something all Haren learn?"
Solas smiles. "Dalen."
"Yes?"
"Except that you are now the leader of a large organization. You've made your bed, to use the human phrase. Now lie in it." He makes a gesture towards the large velvet and silk and gold structure behind them. Lavellan looks horrified.
"But Solas,"
she whispers, fingers knotting underneath her chin as she stares at it.
"I don't think I'd be able to climb my way back out."
"Well, of course she's gonna get sick if you take her out in the middle of this storm to stomp around the bogs and fight undead corpses." Varric raises an eyebrow. "What exactly were you expecting? You even said she fell in. Twice.
I didn't expect this, Sarah says. I might have just killed the Herald of Andraste on accident.
Varric snorts.
It's not funny, Varric. Someone is going to assassinate me for it.
Not if you drink yourself to a grave first. Bull tugs the tankard out of her hands. Enough for you. If you kick it, Krem will lose his new best friend.
What?
Krem grunts, half asleep and draped over a barrel. Sarah snorts.
Go sit with her, Varric says. If you feel that guilty, you're bringing the mood of the tavern down.
There is no one but you, Bull, and me. Krem doesn't count because he's clearly not with us, Sarah says. And we all know Bull can just, like, stare off into the distance for hours thinking spy things.
I do not think of spy things, Bull protests. I think of a lot of other things, too. And get propositioned.
Whatever.
Go sit with her, Varric says. Talk to her. Apologize if you want to. She's so out of it, she won't even know if you mess up. She can't even tell what's up and what's down. You should have seen her when Chuckles went in to check on her. Sometimes, Llewellyn comes in and sits with him. She just quietly sits down across from him, on the floor, because the girl is allergic to chairs. Folds up like a little bit of paper art, the kind that the spymaster sometimes makes, and pulls out one of the books from his piles and reads. He isn't sure if she ever finishes any of them, or even understands half of it, because most of the books he's been setting aside are on extremely dense material, and even he doesn't understand half of them without referencing their footnotes and appendices. She's quiet, though. Sometimes she moves, stretching, or tilting her head back, eyes closed as she rests them. Sometimes she gets up, leaning her chin on the slanted window sill, staring out into the sky. Occasionally she sighs, closing the book, finger holding her place, and just looks off into the distance before returning to reading. It is nice, companionable, different from how they usually are. Dorian likes it. The entire situation is absolutely ridiculous. He's the son of a magister, a Tevinter noble, and she's a Dalish elf from the backwaters of Ferelden. They're both part of an organization that set out to save the world from red lyrium, giant holes in the sky, and ancient Tevinter would-be gods. But this is nice. It is almost enough to make him glad for the things that happened. That he could come here and meet people like her and Vivienne and Varric. Of course, some of the people are unsavory, but he thinks that the experience is balancing itself out well enough. You are a gift, Dorian says, not looking up.
So are you, she says, without hesitation or pause, eyes still closed as she leans against a stack of books on magical theory he was going through.
Dorian smiles and shakes his head.